The following podcast is a production of Institutional Real Estate Incorporated. For the most comprehensive industry news and information, visit our website at irei.com and sign up for our free daily news alerts.
Welcome to Report from Europe. I am joined by Merrick Hansel. He is in England, our correspondent overseas. Good day, Merrick.
Hi there, Mike. How are you?
Doing well. Stateside, things are, there's signs that things are slowing down. And my understanding from you is that there's signs that there has been a slowdown in investments into European real estate. Now, is this something that's modest or is it pronounced?
Good question. So, I'll give you some figures first, and then we can maybe look at characterizing it. Real Capital Analytics, they released their a Q1 report, which is basically called Europe Capital Trends, which covers deals across Europe. And they found that in Q1 of this year, so Q1 2019, investment deals totaled 44.5 billion euros, which sounds like a big amount, and it obviously is a big number, but it was 32% down on the same quarter in 2018, and it's actually the lowest level 2013, so it's the lowest level in 6 years, effectively. And it's also well below the 71 billion euro average in transaction volumes in recent first quarter periods. So I guess you could describe it as quite a fall. Could be down to a number of things, it's a bit of a dramatic slide, I'd say.
Yeah, reason for panic, perhaps. I mean, depending on a person's position in the market, whether they're long-term or not. Has that put any downward pressure on prices yet, or is everything pretty much stable as far as that goes? I mean, it's probably early on. I'm not sure if prices would actually move based on the winnowing demand.
Yeah, as far as I'm aware, outside of retail, prices are sort of holding up. I guess one of the things is that places like Germany, there's still a lot of people that want to invest in Germany, for example, but the pipeline's just not there. There's not enough new assets coming on the market, I guess, which may be one of the reasons why Germany's figures weren't great. They also had a slower first quarter, which was about 8.3 billion euros. And I think, Real Capital Analytics actually commented on that, saying that may be down to a reluctance on the part of some buyers to buy assets at current asking prices. So maybe they're looking for them to drop. Some investors are sort of sitting on their, keeping their powder dry and waiting for prices to drop. But there have been some sort of cuts in German economic growth forecasts as well. So it may be something going on with the German economy that sort of is putting off investors. France had a slow start to the year as well. I think that in Paris, volumes declined by 35% compared to Q1 in 2018. And as you know, Mike, I think we talked about Paris a couple of months ago, and we were sort of quite buoyant and positive about it, despite everything that was going on there in terms of politics and protests. So I was slightly surprised to hear about the French, the drop in France.
Enormous drop there. My understanding is GDP figures haven't been all that good in Europe in recent times either. Is that changing as well? Or GDP figures, have they been dropping even more, or is that stable? What do you see there?
According to Eurostat, so that's the European Commission Statistics Bureau, bit of a convoluted name. So there's loads of layers of departments, obviously, in the European Union. But according to Eurostat, they sort of have a flash estimate of the GDP in the first quarter of 2019. They say that accelerated to 0.4% in the Q1 2019. So it's a slight pickup from the slowdown in the second half of 2018. But obviously those aren't exactly figures to write home about. In terms of countries, so if you look at Germany, obviously the Eurozone's powerhouse, it's Bundesbank, so the German Bundesbank said that GDP rose by 0.4% quarter on quarter in Q1, but the German economy contracted by 0.2% in the third quarter of 2018 and stagnates in the fourth, so it's sort of starting from a lower point anyway. And the government's halved its 2009 growth forecast for Germany to 0.5%. And to give you an idea of what that looks like in recent times, so in 2017, the German economy expanded by 2.2%, according to the German government, and by 1.4% in 2018. So numbers are dropping. So that's not really a great sign. I think part of the problem is Germany's reliance on the auto industry. Obviously, global car sales have dropped for the first time since the financial crisis. The declining Chinese demand for German cars and all the stuff that's happening in the auto industry is really, really affecting the German economy somewhat. So it's one to definitely keep an eye on. Whether it becomes a massive long-term problem, it's hard to say at the moment, really.
Yeah, Germany being the heart of the European economy there, and to see them dropping off right now, definitely not a good sign. So, Merrick, what about the trade war going on? And I think we can now label it a full-fledged trade war between China and the United States. It's obviously raised prices on things like steel and aluminum and food stuff. That's going to have upward pressure on automobile prices. You were mentioning Germany and the auto sector, although there's some other forces at play there as well. But what about that trade war? Is Europe feeling the effects?
I think Europe is. Yeah. So the Bundesbank there has sort of directly sort of addressed this issue, the US China trade conflicts, and said that sort of President Trump's threats to raise tariffs on car imports could dampen US demand. So that would affect not just German car makers, but obviously Italian and French. And obviously the US and China have ramped up their trade conflicts, as you say. It's almost a full-blown war now. Both countries are important markets for German exporters in particular, and their tariffs are hurting their businesses too. In the UK, I don't know if you've heard about this, Mike, but there's been a lot of stuff going on in the past couple of weeks over the mobile manufacturer of cell phones. I can never pronounce it properly, but it's Huawei or Huawei.
I'm
sure the listeners will know who I'm talking about. Huawei or something like that.
Yeah, I think it's Yahweh, but I might be wrong. I don't. It's Yahweh.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's turned into quite a dogfight. The thing that I've been reading about, in fact, it's a British newspaper, as they call themselves. I consider them a magazine. But The Economist was saying that because Google has the operating system for the phones, and the Trump administration's been saying, cut off these ties, they're actually now withholding the Android system and some other apps, I guess. And it's really going to hurt Yahweh, and is supposedly European countries are turning towards some other options because this may go on for quite a while. And if the software isn't there to run the phones, the operating system's not there. And in addition to that, Yahweh and others in China supposedly have been working on operating systems for a few years now and have not had a whole lot of luck with it. So probably a little more complicated than than it would seem. You know, China's been accused of knocking things off. I don't understand why they wouldn't just knock off the Android system and then say, make a few modifications and say it's A-OK. But go ahead with that. I'm talking over the subject right now. What do you have to say about Huawei and that situation?
Well, it could be a sign of things to come. So, you know, if it's Huawei now, it could be another issue, another tech issue. You know, in a few weeks or a few months' time, and that could have major impact on Europe's economy. Obviously, there's a few cities that have large tech sectors now that are springing up and producing products and solutions that they would, you know, really want to sell into the Chinese market, and would want, and especially stuff to use on mobile, so within the Android system or within Apple's operating system. So it's you know, quite roaring. You've got tech startups, you know, in London, in Barcelona, in Berlin, in Paris. If this sort of trade conflict starts ramping up into areas like that, you know, who knows where it could end. So the whole geopolitical situation doesn't currently bode very well. And added to all that with the geopolitical stuff is the ongoing Brexit saga, which we obviously talked about as well in a recent podcast, Mike. Which is actually that's slowed down sentiment in the UK. Actually, there was another report by a company called Brickvest. They've got a commercial property investment barometer, which captures sort of sentiment from about 6,000 international real estate investors, and it found that less than a third, so 29% now, view the UK as their preferred market for real estate investments. So the UK is also not in a great situation, but going back to the Huawei thing and the tech thing, it's just that slight concern is this could be the first, you know, sort of domino, and it starts sort of spiraling out of control. I think somebody needs to get a grasp of the situation. I'm not quite sure who that's going to be though.
You know, the other thing, getting back to Brexit for just a minute, I saw on the BBC was reporting that now the latest thing is upset citizens throwing milkshakes on politicians, which one level kind of hilarious. On another, it's have we really come to this, that people are standing there with milkshakes, and when a elected official comes by, they hurl it at them? They showed some footage of that, and one milkshake shop had a sign in the window that said, "We've closed. The police have asked us to close for the day," and it had to do with a visiting politician or two, because they didn't want them selling milkshakes and having to deal with that situation. I guess in the United States, we like to hit people in the face with pies. I guess in England, it's milkshakes.
Yeah, well, it used to be eggs. I don't know how it sort of moved on to milkshakes. But it's funny aside. Burger King in the UK have a Twitter account, and some cheeky Burger King employee or whoever they use for their social media posted a tweet sort of saying, "By the way, we serve milkshakes," just saying or something. And this was somewhere in Scotland, and Nigel Farage, who, if you recall from our last conversation about Brexit, Mike, he's sort of the spearhead of Brexit, and he started the Brexit Party in retaliation to the UK government not being able to get the Brexit, the sort of withdrawal agreement sorted out, and to facilitate the UK's exit from the European Union. He was in town at that time, so they were sort of almost encouraging people to throw milkshakes at him. But yeah, it could be a new thing where politicians of all stripes get covered in milk and sugar and
Well, you can bet that here in the United States, people are going to pick up on that and start carrying some milkshakes around to some of these political gatherings. So it's part of the transparency we've got these days, where everybody kind of sees what's going on and then can imitate it. Hopefully not, and hopefully the Brexit situation will get straightened out, and hopefully the European economy and real estate sales will go back to where they were, the real estate deals. Well, hope for the best. So appreciate the report, Merrick. And until next month, tally-ho.
Thanks, Jeff.